Ladies and gentlemen, Christine George with our introductory comments.
I'd like to read.
Is the first thing you say, Kat. You can't start with The spotlight turns out you've got to We do have time maybe for a couple more of these, and then the last lecture that you'll ever hear from me is not very long. It's brief. Although I can drag it out if required. Anyway, Christine George in the, I assume the press conference.
Yes.
Okay.
The new Joe Louis Arena is going to be built in Detroit. CEO of Detroit Development Incorporated, Howard Jensen, held a press conference today to discuss the two-year construction project. The reconstruction will cost $250 million, but Jensen assures that none of it will be from taxpayers' money. The new Joe will be at the same location and have the same name, but it will be larger, more modernized, and have many upgrades. In the meantime, the Red Wings will be playing their home games at the Palace of Auburn Hills. According to Jensen, the construction of the new Joe Louis is the best option for the city and the team.
Questions, comments, theories? To Burke.
You can't have an upgrade in a new facility.
Yeah,
not even.
I'm talking about upgrades from the.
Yeah, you can have an upgrade to a new facility or upgrade a facility. Anybody else? Can we hear what you
can? Can I not say upgrade?
Oh, you hear your lead again. Let's roll back.
A new Joe Louis Arena is going to be built in Detroit.
All right, get rid of in Detroit, read it again.
A new Joe Louis Arena is going to be built.
Do we need in Detroit, Eric?
I guess not.
Well, I do. I don't know what is going on in here. It's like a steel trap up here, man. I'm working hard at this.
I know why she put it, but it's a local story, so the local lead may not need to be put in the local angle.
Yeah, I guess my question is, it's redundant to say Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. I mean, where else would they build a Joe Louis
Arena? I don't know. I was just kind of thinking if someone else was here yet or didn't know.
Really? Yeah.
Well, it's very thoughtful of you to think about it in that way. I don't think you need in Detroit. I think that's redundant. Because the second sentence is what?
CEO of Detroit Development Incorporated.
Oh, yeah,
that's true. I see why it's redundant. Makes sense.
You got Detroit in the second sentence.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Keep going. The past still making sense. I'm glad.
CEO.
I had this nightmare, and one day I'm just going to sit up here and stop making sense. I'm just going to talk like this ramble. Students are looking at me and go, what happened to Mr. Volunteer? And all of a sudden, it's like, click. I digress. Second step.
CEO of Detroit Development Incorporated, Howard Jensen, held a press conference today to discuss the two-year construction project.
Again, I don't think you need help a press conference today to discuss who cares. He doesn't care. Well, again, you being the listener. Again, when you write this stuff, again, you can look at it a lot of different ways. You can write it for me, you can write it for you, you can write it for the class, or whatever it is. But the fact is, and the truth is, you're writing it for the listener. It's like doing a radio show. You got to keep your listener in mind. It's not about you. It's about the listener. So does your listener need to know he held a press conference? Does it enrich the story or their lives if he issued a news release?
No.
Good. So get rid of held a press conference.
So how can I reword myself?
Well, read it again.
CEO of Detroit Development Incorporated, Howard Jensen, held a press conference today to discuss a two-year construction project.
Well, I mean, again, it says the two-year project will cost $250 million. Just roll it.
So like combine those two sentences together. Okay, because my next sentence was the reconstruction will cost $250 million, but Jensen assures that none of it will be from taxpayers' money.
Okay. So you need to roll it in. I mean, there's lots of ways you can do it. Keep going.
The new Joe will be at the same location and have the same name, but it will be larger, more modernized, and have many upgrades.
Good.
In the meantime, the Red Wings will be playing their home games at the Palace of Auburn Hills. According to Jensen, this is where I'm confused. I don't know if I should say according to Jensen. The construction of the new Joe Louis is the best option for the city and the team.
Why
was it
concerned?
According to him, or was it like, or was it according to?
I wasn't here. I don't know.
So.
Really tired of that, dude. All right, Bob, we get it. You weren't here. But
it
was a character. It's a theater degree, man. I got to use it somewhere. I mean, come on. It's expensive.
Theater degree?
Yeah.
From
Zig?
Yeah.
Because
he's theater?
What?
She thought.
So you
have,
like,
plays and stuff?
Yeah.
Like Hamlet?
Who would have thunk
it? Who would have thunk
it? I wouldn't have thunk
it.
He said it.
Back in week 20, wasn't it?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. That's a long time ago. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
I should have went to Michigan.
No, according to you, it's okay, or Jensen says anything like that's fine.
Oh, okay.
It's close, it's okay.
Okay.
I really like the fact that you did that. In fact, I want to mention that to everybody, and that Jensen should come in around the second sentence, although we heard whose story when he did the third sentence.
Brian's.
He's not here. But if he was here, and so again, it kind of depends on how it's written and just on how it flows. I thought his story sounded better the first two sentences, and then the attribution comes in. It just kind of fits. So the second sentence is really good, but somewhere in your story, you need to repeat that. Now, this is the first time we talked about it. Maybe I should some of you individually. But at the beginning of a sentence down the road somewhere, Jensen says, Jensen also says, to repeat that attribution somewhere. So in case your audience, you know, forgets who's talking. And you did that, and that's good.
Okay.
According to Jensen, that's great.
Okay.
That's
so combine my second and my third sentence.
I think so, yeah. I'd probably get rid of a few words. And yeah. Yeah, if you have a sentence that just tells me the Howard Jensen held news conference today, and that's basically all you're telling me, that's not enough. It's Detroit Development Incorporated is important, and yeah, they put him in there. He's a CEO, and that's fine, and dandy. But just to tell me he held a news conference isn't telling me enough. You can move the story forward a little bit more than that.
Can I just say?
I'm sorry, one more time, Christine Douglas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I just say that the CEO of blah, 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 discuss the 2-year construction project, and then go on to my third sentence and say the reconstruction will cost $250, or should I still combine them?
I don't like discuss the project. I don't care.
Oh.
Yeah. Again, it's nothing, and again, you don't know this either, that Howard Jensen, from what I told is not his real name. But you didn't know how well known this guy is or anything else. He's not. Okay. Not that he's not important, he's not the mayor of the city or anything, but you don't need to discuss the project, doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
President Barack Obama discussed this, he did. Now you got it.
Okay.
So I think you still need to roll something else into that. All right,
okay.
Go on and laugh.
Plans for remodeling
John
Lewis Arena finally are set into place and ready for action. Today, CEO of Detroit Development Incorporated, Howard Jensen, said that the home of the Red Wings will be closed down for construction preparation at the end of this season. The remodeling is going to bring a bigger and better arena with more space and seating for fans and more upscale equipment, locker rooms, and weight room for the team, as well as a Red Wings museum. The remodeling will be a 2-year project. During these 2 years, the Red Wings will be playing at the Palace of Arden Hills. This $250 million Go Green project is being operated by Mike Illich. This will not affect taxpayers and will bring more job openings. The state of the art facility blueprint will be available soon to the public.
I think Olivia and Jean would be more appropriate in this story, yes, than my
boy. $5
You can't solve that problem, you create another problem, and then now you have Mike Yotes out there with all the titles.
Right, and that's how I'm waiting.
You want
us
to sit over here?
The whole school.
Well,
that's not complaining.
Welcome to the side of the real The question before the court, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what is a Mike Ilitch? Mike Ilitch is many things. He is what? He owns the Detroit Red Wings. What else is Mike Ilitch?
The Tigers.
He owns the Detroit Tigers. What else is Mike Ilitch?
Little Caesars.
What?
Little Caesars.
He owns Little Caesars.
Olympia Entertainment.
What else is Mike Ilitch?
Uptown Entertainment.
Mike Ilitch is Detroit.
And he owns Detroit.
Fox Theater, say that. But all this stuff, and again, I'm not sure if it's entirely accurate. It's okay for the story or not. I think it's Ilitch Holdings, which is the name of the company, actually. But, because he does, it's an umbrella for everything, which I meant Olympia Entertainment to be. When you wrote your story, Olympia Entertainment, Mike Ilitch, I didn't know what that meant. Olympia Entertainment's owner, or again, and I think most people would know Mike Ilitch as being the owner of the Red Wings. So this story.
It's fine to leave his name, right?
Pardon me?
It's fine to leave his name, right?
His name is fine, but you got to put the title of it. Red Wing owner Mike Ilitch, or
Detroit entrepreneur,
or Little Caesars Pizza founder and Red Wing owner, or there's lots of things you can do with that.
Let's just say it.
Octogenarian. He's like 83, isn't he? The worst toupee. Why do you think all this money have the worst toupees in the play?
Terrible.
Yes, sir. Yep.
I had to read it, so it was okay. Then you mentioned something about mentioning Jensen again.
Yeah, I think everybody should. Yeah, there's somewhere in the set. It doesn't have to change anything. They just add in the beginning of the sentence, Jensen says, and Jensen also says. Just to repeat that.
Can I turn you back in? Yeah.
Okay,
excuse me. I'm like, that's my story, okay? I'm
not
understanding
what.
If my story was okay, I read and got one like comment that said, I want to know if the rest okay.
You gotta keep me focused, Mark.
I know, that's why I got you back on track.
They don't do that in social
things.
As far as you know.
Hold on, Brooklyn. Go away.
Plans for remodeling Jungle of Sabrina finally are set in
place. Okay, one more time, believe. A little slower, a little louder.
Plans for remodeling Jungle of Sabrina finally are set into place and ready for action.
You don't need finally. Get rid of the word finally and read it again.
Plans for remodeling Jungle of Sabrina are set into place and ready for action.
Okay, the ready for action might be a little too much, but that's okay. I don't have to problem. It's the finally go away. Next sentence.
Today, CEO of Detroit Development.
No, don't need today,
necessarily. CEO of Detroit Development Incorporated, Howard Jensen, says that the home of the Red Wings will be closed down for construction preparation at the end of this season.
Again, I think you need to make it clear they're tearing it down.
Right, she said
remodeling. They're tearing it down. It's gone. It's down to the... down to dirt, and they're going to build it up again.
So I shouldn't just say remodeling.
That's the other thing I want to point out. It's not a remodel. Remodel is like, if we're going to remodel this room, and God knows we should. I mean, the room would stay the same. We'd repaint it, or we'd, you know, put the wet bar in the back. You know, we do that kind of thing.
But just change the people.
Wow.
I'm talking to you. I don't about remodel. It's like renovate, you know. Renovate would mean they keep the same building but do the inside over again. I don't think so. I think you need to make it clear that next sentence.
If this one starts with remodeling too, but
okay.
The remodeling is going to bring a bigger and better arena with more space and seating for fans and more upscale equipment, locker rooms and weight rooms for the team, as well as a Red Wings museum.
Okay,
come on. The remodeling will be a 2-year project. During these 2 years, the Wings will be playing at the Palace of Arden Hills.
Somewhere there, it'd be a good place to put Jensen again. Jensen also says that.
Okay.
Just repeat that. All right. Does that help you?
Okay. I got a question. instead of remodeling, can we say rebuilding?
Well, I think rebuilding is closer to it, yeah. If I'm going to rebuild something, then I'm going to do it, I'm going to build it again, obviously. Remodel, yeah. Remodeling, I don't think is enough. It's more than remodeling.
Right.
A rebuild. It's a rethink. It's a redo.
The
do over.
It's a re-up.
It's a re-up.
It's a raise.
It's a raise.
It's a raise. All right. Anybody else have a question about your story?
Can I show you my lead?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I apologize.
You said in the email that I need to put where it's built. So I changed my lead to plans to build a new Joe Louis Arena in place of the current one out of your way.
Well, I don't mean to do it illegally. Read it again, please.
Plans to build a new Joe Louis Arena in place of the current one are underway. Okay.
I don't think it was in your story at all.
What?
I don't think it was in your story. That was my comment. I didn't mean, it didn't have to be in the lead necessarily, but that's fine.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else? You okay with it? Again, if you retype that, and if you need to, that's fine with me. I have no problem rewriting things. Hopefully, these discussions have helped you. My goal is to make you see it differently, look at it differently, and try to keep the listener in mind, or the viewer, this is what it's all about. Again, I'm just going to go through these notes with you and add a little something here and there. It gives something to write off on the chalkboard once upon a time. I just feel like that's just so... the last couple of things we need to talk about, not that they're the least important necessarily, especially the first subject is the weather. A couple of facts for you, some truth for you here. The main reason people bother to turn on the radio or television anyway is to find out what the weather forecast is going to be. It is not to listen to you do your radio show necessarily or anything else. If the weather is something that you do a lot, some stations make a habit of it. The station I worked for a couple of years, every 10 minutes on the 8s. The anchors would actually figure out, well, that's 8 times an hour times a 6-hour air shift. They do the traffic and weather together 48 times. Maybe an air shift, oh my God. For the 48th and final time. Oh, Jesus, it was incredible. But there's a reason why the WWJ does it every 10 minutes, because people want to know that, and people will tune into that. And if you listen to that station all for that reason, you know. I mean, you just look at the clock and whatever, and you go, oh, it's 7:28, boom, and he hit it, and then there it is. It's very important, not only just to find out whether it's going to be sunny and 70 today. It'll be very hard to come in from the playground today, won't it? I mean, that's just mm-hmm. tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody familiar with or had any experience with the agriculture industry? Live on a farm, grew up near a farm, some farm country and all?
Where's that hand, Katie? Get that up
Michigan
there.
Michigan State has a lot of agriculture stuff.
Okay. Okay.
Out there on Jolly Road, way out there, Mount Hope, all that. Yeah.
Tomato garden in my backyard.
Anyway, well, I mean, I didn't either. I mean, my grandparents all grew up on farms, but everybody's grandparents. But if you're in the agriculture business, the weather is very important, not only sunny and 70, but can I get to the field? Can I harvest it today? Should I do this today? Can I do this early tomorrow? Should I do this today or tomorrow? Do I wait? And my livelihood depends on it. Also, you hear stories all the time in the Midwest and such a part of the country has just been absolutely just beaten to pieces with tornadoes. Death and destruction. Entire towns just wiped out. Do you ever think about that? I mean, when you hear all those stories, you look out your window and you wonder if you looked out there, nothing was there. I mean, it's just amazing. So people's lives depend upon this, and it could be you at the controls. And that tornado warning is sounded from the emergency, the EAS system, and it's your job to get it on the air and get it on the air accurately and so forth and whatnot. In a couple of minutes, we'll make the difference between somebody living and dying. Now, that's not every day. In the 10 years I was on the radio, I never once had to do EBS. It was EBS back then. We had to do the test, that little nasty tone that makes it sound like you're in the world. This is only a test.
Oh my God.
as a kid, man, it scared you to death. When I was a kid, we were still doing the civil defense thing, and we still had to go in the hallway and put your head down for the nuclear thing that's going to come in, the Cold War was going on, and all that stuff. So that always had this bad connotation. What? They still do it, yeah. It's a little more genteel now than it was then. Back then it was like, so I do EBS tests all the time, but I never had to really do a tornado warning or anything like that. So you never know. It doesn't happen very often, but that's the hard part about it, because again, it doesn't happen very often. When you do the call letters every 10 minutes, you get to learn them and you know them by heart, and it's not a big deal. But when you do this once, maybe every 4 years, you have to remember what you're doing. So weather is important. It's not something to be taken for granted. The main source of weather information in this country is the National Weather Service, which is a federal, your tax dollars at work kind of a thing. You've got to treat a weather forecast like a news story, because that's what it is. And like any news story, you need to edit. You need to make sure your audience gets the information that they need. And a lot of times from the National Weather Service, it's very lengthy. It's wordy. Not all the time, but sometimes it is. It's like wire copy. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it isn't. Again, you've got to make sure the information is concise and clear, because it's not just about making clear whether the Red Wings won last night. Now it's clear whether somebody should take cover or not. You do need to know the difference between a watch and a warning, and not that you don't already. If you live around here at all, you've heard this stuff all your life. Weather situations usually begin with an advisory. I didn't put that on here. You don't hear that a whole lot. But they begin as a weather advisory for whatever reason. And then if it gets worse, it goes to a watch, which means conditions are favorable for severe weather to occur. And then it goes to a warning where severe weather is imminent or happening now, and the public should take the appropriate measures, whatever that is. How many of you have been in an area with a tornado warning that's taking place? Yeah, most people are.
Yeah.
You live around here at all.
Live here.
And then how many of you take the appropriate action? How many of you walk outside to see if you can see it? I heard it's like a train.
And then it's all still.
Isn't that the car?
Down the street.
The point is, just because you don't head for the basement or an interior room or a closet or something like that doesn't mean you need to take it slightly if you're on the air. So that's basically it. Watch, warning, know the difference between the two, and the National Weather Service being the main source of weather information. Not the only one. There's the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. They use information from there. They got radars and all kinds of things that they can use, but you'll grow NWS is the main source. Any questions about the weather? Can I tell you a little story about the weather?
Yes.
Sure.
Why not?
Well, a long, long time ago, boys and girls, the land far, far away.
Ohio?
Not that far away. Called Lenawee County. In a little place called Adrian, Michigan, there was a broadcaster on the air named Bob Buchanan. And Bob Buchanan was working, it was a weird shift at that time. It was like, it doesn't matter what it was. It was evening. I was there alone. It was like 3 to 9 p.m. It was weird. And they had a new thing called color radar weather. Nobody else had this. In the control room, sitting on top of the remote transmitter meters, was a 19-inch Magnavox television set that had seen better days. Nothing but the best. On top of the building was a satellite dish, and we got a satellite feed down, and it had the outline of the state of Michigan. You remember those old World War II movies where the sonar operator is sitting there and that line that sweeps around that circular thing they look at, and you hear the little beeps and the little, remember what I'm talking about? And they can tell by the size of the reflection it's a battleship or a cruiser or whatever. Remember that? Well, that's what this did. It was like a sweep of the thing that went around it. And we had three scans. We could do 50 miles out, 100 miles, or 150 miles out. And our job was to do the weather forecast and then ad-lib the screen. So it was immediate. Right now you know that the rain is now entering Hillsdale County, moving east-northeast at 10 miles an hour, and blah, blah, blah. It was really cool. They could sell advertising on it, so it was very important we did this accurately and did it correctly. what will happen to you in this business is that you will get complacent and you will do stuff so much, like the weather, like doing this thing, that you stop thinking about it. And that's the problem. You've got to be aware of it. It's when you think you got it nailed down, that's when it's going to come up. And it's like the proverbial stepping on the rake thing, and that thing will come up and hit you right.
Cool.
So it's in the wintertime, and I'm doing the thing. I'm doing the weather forecast, and emptying time that night, and I'm looking at the scan, and you know, it works like Chuck Yannick's thing does. You know, the light greens rain, and then if you get to magenta, it's like life is over for anybody in that area because it's just the most intense thing ever. Right? So you just had to live it. I looked, there's nothing on the screen. There's more weather happening under Barry's hat right now than there is on this screen. Right? So that's what I told him. I said, nothing on the screen. Everything's fine and dandy. It's clear. It's great. It's a wonderful night. Nice to have you along with me today here at WABJ. I'll be back to the music. Blah, blah, blah. Phone ring. Well, of course, you're the only one at the station, so you have to answer the phone. And good evening, WABJ. Well, the person on the other end of the line was, how do I put this? Agitated. In fact, I heard words that I didn't know were words. He was very upset, not happy. And my bleeping color radar bleep and forecast can go take a bleep and leap because it's not any bleep of good. And you're not either, and neither is your mother. Why don't you take a look outside? I'm standing right now at my back door and I cannot see my barn. I know there's one there, but I cannot see it because it's snowing so hard. And you're telling me there's nothing going on. Have a nice day, click. Okay, it's 10:35 at WABJ. So then, of course, way too late now. The cows are out of the barn, literally. But the studio at ABJ was a stand-up board, and you had to walk like around it like this, and there was the door to the studio, and there's a long hallway. And it's downtown. It's an old bank. It used to be a bank. Anyway, you walk to the back of the building, and there's an alley. Okay. It's about a car width wide, right? So I'm walking down to look at the back door, and I'm going, and I get to the back door, and there's like an alley about a car width wide, okay? And then there's a parking lot. Okay, so how far away is that? From me to the wall, my car is like this far away, like just that. I can't see. It's snowing so hard, I can't see. It's from right to left, and it's just like, close your eyes, that's exactly what it looks like. I'm going, that's what I'm hearing. Hold it. It's beautiful. It's great. It's great. Go out there. Have a great time. People have a nice day. Roads are dry. Everything's fine. It's not a problem. It's like, fail, you know. Well, I learned that night is that everything happens for a reason, and I learned about moisture content. What's the best kind of snow to make snowballs with?
Wet snow.
It's also the best kind to show up on the radar. Because the radar is something to bounce off from. And that's where the green blobs come from. The radar goes up and it reflects back down, and that's where they get it from. But what kind of snow is really bad to make snow?
Dry snow.
Dry, wet, fluffy snow.
Yeah, fluffy.
That's what we had.
Fluffy,
dry snow. Didn't show up on the radar.
Just fluffy.
So the lesson is, learn from me. Before you do a weather forecast, get up and go walk and look out of the window somewhere. The forecast might call for clear skies, and you can read the forecast for what it says. But you need to tell your people that, and your listeners that the forecast calls for clear skies. But obviously, if you looked outside lately, you know we've got anything but. That's perfectly okay. You sound like you know that you're a genius and everything else. Unlike some of us who just took it for granted that technology always works. Anyway. End of story. Broadcasting telephone conversation. The phone is used a lot in news, obviously. Again, I don't mean to keep referencing this one station, but it's true that if you sat in the newsroom at News Radio 950, the phones never stop. They never stop. Phones are used all the time. To get information, to try and get the confirmed information. And for a lot of reasons, to get people on the phone so you can record the conversation, you can have an interview recorded, and then do what with it?
Put it on the air.
Actuality.
cut them up in actualities and write what?
Wraparounds.
If you listen to the radio or listen to watch television news at all, there are very few stories that don't have any, some sort of tape with them. Very few that are just readers. There are some, but they're very short because, again, it's just not visually interesting just to look at the anchor with a graphic or something. You can do that for a little while, and then you go, entertain me, you know. So telephones are used a lot. Does anybody do screening? Anybody work as a screener or anything like that? No? Well, you may find yourself responsible for recording or putting callers on the air live. There's a rule from the Federal Communications Commission that you need to know. And I know you can read it, but I'll read it for you. You must inform the caller or any party to the call of your intention to broadcast the call on the air, except when the caller or any party to the call is likely to be aware the call will be broadcast. Sounds like a government thing, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What? You must inform the caller or any party to the call of your intention to broadcast the call on the air. That is a key element. Again, with ABJ, I had to make cop calls. I had to call the Michigan State Police and the county sheriffs and the local police and see if there was anything going on. And I always, we used reel-to-reel tape back then, and I always taped it. Because I don't know shorthand, and I don't want to keep this person on the phone. They're busy. They got another job to do. And so it's easier for me to record it, and then I could go back and transcribe it if I need to do it at my own snail-like pace and not keep somebody on the phone. Yes, and keep going over. There's two T's. But that's different than broadcasting. The second part of it, or any party to the call, obviously that takes care of conference calls or multiple line deals, is likely to be aware the call will be broadcast. What situation would that apply to?
Radio.
In what way?
If you call in, make a comment about this.
If the DJs ask for calls.
Yeah. Anytime a DJ asks for calls, talk shows, sports talk stations, everything else. If you call up 97.1 The Ticket during the whatever show, and there's going to be a screener, somebody's going to, the producer or whatever, going to get your name and what do you want to talk about, and try to make sure that you know you got both feet on this planet before they put you on the air and all that. And then they park you, get you in line, you're likely to be aware your call is going to be broadcast. Same thing with contests and so forth. If the part of the contest is, okay, be the fifth caller, you've seen this, heard this before, be the fifth caller and get a chance to win, you know, a green water bottle or whatever it is, that's okay. However, the FCC also saith unto us, you have to giveth the caller a real opportunity to refuse to have their conversation broadcast while not yet on the air. Any word, even hello, cannot be aired without consent. So, what most screeners will do, either it's a talk show, like a 97.1, a sports talk show, or a news thing, is they will make sure you are aware that this is going to be done. Now, I'm not saying they all do it every time or anything like that, but if you're in a news situation where you're calling somebody or they're calling you, I'm trying to give an example that's pretty obvious. People who do this all the time, and if you listen to the radio or watch television, you know you kind of, the governor's on a lot, it could be the attorney general's on a lot, you're going to hear from the Detroit Mayor Dave Bing a lot, and Council President Charles Pugh a lot, and so forth. And these people are called on, not the governor necessarily. They know what the deal is. If you call the governor of Snyder's office and say, we'd love to talk to the governor tomorrow morning sometime about something, and they'll say, yes, we can do that. So at 7:30 in the morning, phone rings, and you pick it up, and when I was there, it was Governor Jennifer Granholm, and you pick up the phone and say, good morning, WWJ, and say, hi, this is Governor Granholm for my interview. And I'm the writer, so I'm the one that's going to do it. So I said, good morning, Governor, how are you? As I get the thing set up, the record and everything else, and I said, you realize that I'm going to record our conversation, and I'm going to use portions of it on the air in news stories. Are you okay with that? And she always chuckled. Because, well, yeah. Yeah, duh. You know, it's like, what else? I'm not calling to talk to you, volunteer. I don't even know you. So the point is, if you get in the habit of doing this all the time and making sure you roll, push, play, record, so you record your question, are you okay with the fact I'm going to use this on the air, and you get their permission, then you're all set. again, 99 times out of 100, it's not a problem. Of course it's not a problem. That's what they're calling you for, okay? But it's that one time. It's the person that's not a regular newsmaker. They call up about a traffic situation, and you want to use them on the air. You got to get permission to do that. Has anybody heard a DJ kind of break the rules on that?
All the time.
Can you give me an example of that?
What about that show they do on 9.5, the Tournament of the Roses?
Tournament of Roses?
Yeah.
I
feel like it's still going on.
The War of the Roses.
Well, they, people, if they think their significant other's cheating on them, it's usually girls calling in about their guys.
Well, because it's
all girls don't ever cheat. And so they call the guy and they ask him if he wants to send flowers to anyone special. And
yeah, is that scripted? How do they know?
So then, so then the guy has the option to send them to the right person or the wrong person. And if he does it wrong, then either way, then his significant other or whoever comes on and confronts them.
Or when they do phone scams.
Phone scams are pre-recorded.
Then they ask permission after?
Yeah.
I don't have to do my lecture. I can just sit here.
But the roses thing is live, isn't it?
How do you know? Maybe that's pre-recorded.
Okay, there are two reasons. How do they get away with that? Let's take the War of the Roses thing. How do they get away with that? One, they're breaking the rule. You know what I mean? Yeah. The FCC does not have inspectors at every radio station waiting to see. Like waiting in the bushes outside. Come on, make a mistake, I dare you. It takes some sort of complaint and probably more than one complaint before they're going to, and then the response will be initially maybe a letter or maybe a phone call if the complaints are egregious enough or anything else, then they're breaking the rule and nobody's complaining about it. Or they're doing it off the air and then putting it on the air. And as Rich's comment says, well, it's live, isn't it? Well, it sounds live, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure
it does. That's the beautiful part, I guess, about digital stuff, is that back in the old days, we did a phone thing. You could tell somebody was on the phone. And you still can today if it's a cell phone, the connection's not real good. You get that different audio quality, but with digital stuff, if it's a good line and all that stuff, you have no idea when it's live, they did it yesterday afternoon. And if they may do it initially and then get permission afterward to put it on the air. So a problem to solve.
But there have been times when I've been listening and they'll be like, do you want, like, say, there was one specifically where a daughter called about her dad cheating on their mom, and they asked her if she wanted to talk to him off the air. And then
the two of them went off the air. It's still pre-recorded,
though.
You think about it. They
play
the
War of
the Roses twice every morning. They play it early, and then they play it, like, after 8:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
It gets played twice,
so it could be... My guess is it's been going on for a very long time, right? They've been doing this for years, I think.
I don't get how people still fall for the Roses Bloom thing. Everybody knows what it is. You can get a phone call for Roses Bloom.
That's my next question.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's like any kind of reality thing. How do they get the camera inside the house before the person walks up to the door? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How is that? Oh, excuse me. I just want to park my camera here.
I know you don't know who I am, but I won't put my camera in. There we go.
Is this in Switzerland?
The deal with telephone conversations is you have to get permission before you put it on the air, ladies and gentlemen, or else you leave yourself open for a problem, which we don't want you to have. You do not want the FCC visiting your facility. You just don't want that.
Right.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
I got 5 minutes left today to go over this last writing assignment for you. For many of you, this will be the last story you'll write. I do encourage you to keep up your writing skills, and I also encourage you to eat your vegetables and get enough rest every night.
Yeah, Katie.
This is much like the Gene Jr. story, and then we did retype it just to make it clearer, but this is a newspaper story, and the original copy obviously looked like it. The headline is, Two Men Hospitalized After Driving Off with an ATM. The story is about two guys who tried to rip off, or did rip off, an ATM machine. Which I think is just a lot of work. you'll hook a chain or something around the thing and then haul it away or just pick it up and carry it. I don't know how that works. I assume an ATM would be bolted down. I've never tried to lift it. Excuse me, sir, what are you doing? I'm just trying to move the ATM machine.
Anyway,
the two guys are from Detroit. It started in Warren, at the gas station at 12 Mile, and Ryan Rose, about 12:30 in the morning, spotted the car. It was a silver Malibu. It took down 12 Mile. Now, all right, so the guys are involved with an ATM machine, and so why do we do what? Aside from the fact that he tried to steal an ATM. The next paragraph explains kind of what happened. Madison Heights police officers joined the chase. So now you have Warren and Madison Heights. And before they took off down 12 Mile, let me back up a second, driving onto I-75 heading south in the northbound lane. So they're driving the wrong way on I-75 with the ATM in the back seat of the Malibu.
Question.
Okay. Yeah.
Is this a real story?
Yeah.
Because I just was ATM inside of Malibu was kind of strange.
Hey, there's a lot of room in those things.
Yeah, I
know. So now Madison Heights Police, it starts in Warren and it goes to Madison. Madison Heights Police joined the chase what?
Because
it's in their jurisdiction. So now we got Warren and Madison Heights. They blown out two tires with stop sticks. Then the car sped east with the flats onto I-696 in the westbound lanes. They're still going the wrong way. Got off at DeQuinder, circled back on the 96 heading west in the westbound lanes. So now going in the right direction at least. Then drove south on I-75. After the car exited the highway at 7 Mile, they rammed into a Chevrolet Suburban, crossing the service drive at 6 Mile. Then the car veered into a gas station, hitting a cement pole and coming to a rest at a gas pump. The evening did not go as planned for the two gentlemen in the Malibu. Okay. It got a little more interesting than what they were hoping for, I'm sure. The two men suffered non-life-threatening injuries, could be arraigned as soon as today. They're still in the hospital. Other driver was not injured. The other driver is the one in the Suburban. Police did get the ATM and a bunch of lottery tickets. Right? Now.
They're idiots.
No, the
may be desperate, but there's got to be the way the ATM is. Anyway.
Did they see barbershop?
So, the bottom of the page, your lead must include a local angle, of course. Must also include a reference to the ATM theft. 4 to 5 sentences. In fact, I want to change that to 5 to 7. Typed all caps, double space, do next week. You've got a lot of detail here. This is what, same thing with the Gene Jr. thing. You've got a lot of detail here. That in 5 sentences, you're not going to get all this detail here. You're just not going to do it. How important is it? It was a silver Malibu.
Not very.
Does your story change if it was a red Fusion?
No.
It does.
They hit a Chevrolet Suburban. How important is that?
Let's talk about the vehicle.
What if they came off the expressway and hit a Ford F-150?
Hit another vehicle?
Now you can't have a little fun with this too because nobody was hurt. Again, it's not an injury thing. If somebody died in the Suburban or something, it'd be a totally different type of story. Right? Pardon me? What? Christian said nobody could hear him, but yeah, can you have a little fun at their expense and how silly the whole idea was and the whole Keystone Cops kind of a chase thing that must have been, not that going the wrong way on an expressway is something to be taken lightly, but nobody got hurt. So yeah, you can have a little bit of fun with this if you want to. Another detail that, two other points I want to make real quick. The 12:23 a.m. burglar alarm, does your audience need to know it's 12:23 a.m.?
Nope.
No.
Round that off too.
Also,
a Sergeant Jeffrey Knobloch is quoted in here. He is the, when you make the cop calls, he'd be the one you're talking to. He drew the assignment to take the media calls that day. Is his name necessary?
No.
No.
You say Warren Police say, that's fine. Again, edit, some detail out of that. You want me to look at it before it's due, that's fine. Next week in the program, we'll go over the stories. We'll read some of these. We'll sing a couple of songs and have the final examination. The final examination in this class will be 165 questions long.
In French?
No, in English.
Oh.
No, you know better than that. 25 questions, multiple choice, covering, covering everything from week two through today. Maybe 25 questions, but it'll be very long questions.
I have a question.
You also have a story to write.
What story will we be writing?
It's one you've written before, Ryan.
I'm trying to catch
it. It will not be this one, obviously. It will not be the press conference story. Because you haven't had that back yet. It will not be a wraparound. It will be a reader. It will be just a straight, what you've done before. But it could go back to first marking period. You could see the firefighter story again, or the Flight 255 story again, or Fast, or the E. coli, or Gene Jr., or... All right, anybody else? Okay? Yeah. If you are done with the press conference rewrite, whatever, yeah, I'll be glad to take it. If not, when can I get these comfortably? 4 o'clock today. Thank you very much. Thanks for being 11.